Enjoy it, okay?
Right. Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Lamed Ches in Masechet Avodah Zarah, page 38, and it's a very exciting page because it deals with an issue that is a very, very relevant issue in halacha for us. That's the issue of the cooking of non-Jews. We've learned about the wine of non-Jews, the oil of the non-Jews. Lately, we've learned about, all sorts of other issues. What about the cooking of non-Jews? So the Mishnah said, shlakos, things that they cook a lot, are prohibited. And we saw at the very end of our learning yesterday morning, what was the source for that? So the Gemara says, maybe the source is the Pasuk, where Moshe Rabbeinu tells Sichon, when he wants to travel through the area of Sichon, we'll buy from you water and we'll buy from you food. So the food is being compared to water. So just like water is something which isn't changed by heat, the food is something that's not being changed by heat. So the Gemara said ultimately at the end, the Pasuk doesn't talk about heat. The Pasuk just talks about food. So the Gemara says, Alamidrabanan, the source that you're not allowed to eat, the cooking of the non-Jews is only rabbinic law. Ukras machta ba'alma. The Pasuk is just an asmachta. It's just a way to remember. If you look at the Rashi here, Midrabanan, first Rashi on our page, Rashi says, Shelo yehe Yisrael ragil etzlo, v'maychal uv'mishta. This is a rabbinic prohibition that a Jew shouldn't always be with the non-Jew eating and drinking what the non-Jew is eating and drinking. Why? Because then v'yachilenu davar tamei. Non-Jew might slip in non-kosher food and give him something non-kosher to eat. So it's a new issue. We've seen earlier that the issue of wine had two issues. Had idolatry, it might lead to too close a social relationship. It might lead to chasnus, might lead to intermarriage. Here, Rashi, in regards to cooking, doesn't say that the issue is intermarriage. Rashi here says the issue is that the non-Jew might put in some treif. That's why we can't eat, that's why the rabbis made a law, don't eat the cooking of the non-Jew, because the non-Jew might put in some treif.
But so, if you have a housekeeper and you have your own ingredients at
home. Oh, good, right? So that may be a source to be lenient, if you have a housekeeper with their own ingredients. True. That's true. That's a very interesting point. If you look here at the Tosfos says, Pirish Rashi explains, Rabbanan gazer mishum d'chayi, shem yachilene dvarim tmeim. Rashi says that the issue is, maybe they will feed him non-kosher food. V'yosrei nir lefarei shatam mishum chasnos. Tosfos, I don't think that's what's going on. All these other things are because they didn't want us to be too close because we might intermarry. I think the issue is because of intermarriage. V'chein pirish hakuntras b'masnisen. That's what Rashi says over in the Mishnah. Then Tosfos says, Omar Rav Avram b'Rab David, I think that the prohibition is only when the non-Jew cooks it in his house. But if he's doing it in the Jewish home, then there's no worry, not for intermarriage, nor that he might give us some non-kosher. It's in the Jewish home. All the ingredients are kosher. That's what the Ravid says. However, it says, Tosis v'lo hodolo Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam did not agree. Rabbeinu Tam said, if it's something that a non-Jew cooked, so then lo chal kuklau chachamim. The chachamim said, don't eat the cooking of the non-Jews. Yeah, the reason was because of this and that. But the rule is, don't eat the cooking of the non-Jews. So therefore, wherever the cooking happens, in the Jewish home, in the not-Jewish home, bein b'rishus Yisrael, bein l'rishus hov v'kochavim kiliolam li'ishlach Hashem alo yizar gam b'veis shal Yisrael. Even in the Jewish home, you have to be worried that maybe he's going to put in some non-kosher. He doesn't know, he's not such an expert. He might mix some of the milk into the meat. So you always have to be careful. That's the view of Rabbeinu Tam, and that's, for the most part, the way we paskin. However, you do have this view of the Ravid that says in a Jewish home, there would not be a problem of Bishul Akum. So at least we have something to rely on. If it was already done, you don't necessarily have to throw out the food. You say, you know what, we can rely on the Ravid. That's what the post can say. Okay, great. Good, let's do it at the top of the page here.
Is the Ravid always lenient?
He wasn't always lenient. And it's not the same Ravid as the Ravid on Tosfos, on the Rambam. It's a different Ravid.
Oh.
Different person. Okay. Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak said, Amar Rav Nima Rav, talking about the cooking of the non-Jews. Those things that are eaten raw, even if they're cooked, it's not prohibited because of Bishul Akum. So things that are eaten raw, There's no problem if they get cooked. I don't know, pepper. Right? Everybody eats peppers raw, so if the guy cooked the pepper, that's not bishul akum. Meat would be bishul akum. You don't eat meat raw. Onion, I guess. Maybe. Well, in the shawarma stores, right, they put the raw onions into the shawarmas. I guess the onions would not be a problem. They'd get eaten raw, too. Another very important leniency. The Surah Masni Hachim. This is what was said in Surah. But Pumpadisa Masni Hachim. Pumpadisa, they said the following. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav. Rav Shmuel, the son of Rav Yitzchak, said the name of Rav. Kol Sheino Nechol Shulchan Molachim Lapis Poes HaPas. Remember, in their days, a meal was all, you know, an accompaniment of the bread. The bread was the core of the meal, and you'd have other things to add to the taste. You know, you'd have bread with some olive oil to dip into it, or some za'atar to put your bread into. So here, Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak says, anything which is not going to be eaten on a table of kings to go along with the bread is not prohibited because of bishul akum. So things that don't go on a king's table would not be prohibited from bishul akum. That's another very important leniency. So two major carve-outs of the prohibition of non-Jewish cooking. It doesn't apply to things that are edible raw, and it doesn't apply to things that would not get onto a king's table. So my b'nai, what's the difference between these two ideas? Ikka b'nai, the difference would be dagim ktanim, small fish. Small fish are not eaten raw. But
sardine,
sardines, very good.
Sushi.
Right. Small fish. Well, sushi is raw itself, so it's eaten raw. So small fish are not eaten raw. Ardi, mushrooms, and daisa, and oatmeal, farina. So these things are not eaten raw. On the other hand, if they're cooked, they would get onto a king's table. So if you say the issue is things that are eaten raw, there's no prohibition. So here, I'm sorry, these things don't go on a king's table, but they're not eaten raw. So if you say things that are eaten raw, there's no prohibition, but these which are not eaten raw, these could be prohibited. But if you say only things that go on a king's table are prohibited, these things do not go on a king's table. So therefore, they wouldn't be prohibited. Now we start talking about all sorts of different types of foods. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav, Rav Asi Nimi Rav, Dagim Ketanim Aluchim. Let's say you have small fish that were salted. And after they were salted by the Jew, they were cooked by the non-Jew. Is it bishul akum? Is it prohibited? No. Nope. It's not prohibited as Gentile cooking. No, because it's basically considered something eaten raw. Because once it was salted, it's eaten. It's edible. The salmon, right? The salmon is salted. It's edible. Pickled. Once it's pickled, it's edible. So therefore, it's not considered cooked. That's another interesting question, but no, we assume it's all non-Jews. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, because again, if the issues are a tray, for the issues are intermarriage, it's not about idol worshippers, it's for everybody. Amar Rav Yosef said, Imtzlan ov de kochavim. Let's say you have this small fish that a Jew salted, and then the non-Jew roasted it. So, even though you're not allowed and normally use to cook food for a Rav Tavshirin, I'm sorry, since the opposite, you're supposed to use a cooked food for Eruv Tavshilin. Let's say it's Yom Tov is Friday, so you want to be able to cook for Shabbos, so you have to set aside food before for Shabbos. So this was really edible before it was cooked, but it's still considered cooked enough to be considered a cooked food for Eruv Tavshilin to allow you to keep cooking on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So much so, Alei Mishum Eruv Tavshilin. Yeah?
6 years ago, in Israel, the fish was called Malkat Anilus.
Sure.
They would come with the melach.
Good.
Not in the water. And this was a hersha from the Aronot.
Makes sense. Makes sense. What we're seeing here. Exactly.
Rabbi, all these Tanaim, they did a lot of these rules and regulations for not intermarriage. How we see today, and what's happening with intermarriage.
Unfortunately, people are not keeping these rules. The people who are intermarrying are also eating the cooking of their non-Jewish girlfriends. If they'd be keeping these rules, maybe we'd be better off. If we'd be keeping these rules.
Should we create new rules?
The holy Syrian rabbinate made a rule they won't accept any converts to try to prevent intermarriage in 1935. Yeah, so, please.
So I didn't understand. What happens with the food that's appropriate to be eaten in the Shulchan Melachim? Is kosher or not?
Is, no. That's what's not kosher if it's cooked by a Gentile. Or food that couldn't be eaten raw if it's cooked by a Gentile. But we're saying here, these are foods that could be eaten raw, so even though they're cooked by the Gentile, they're still not prohibited. Then you're allowed to eat it. Because it could be eaten raw. The cooking's not such a big deal. It was edible raw too. Now, says the Gemara, talking about these small fish. If the non-Jew made it into fish sticks, fried fish, he added some batter, he fried it in the schnitzel, he fried it in the oil, aser, then it's not allowed. Sigma says, pshita, of course it's not allowed. Sigma says, no, ma'al detema harsana ikra. I might have thought that the main thing is the oil here. And the oil was edible even before it was fried. Kamash malan kimchikar. That's to tell you that the main thing is not the fish, because the fish was edible because it was salty. The main thing is not the oil, because that was edible before it was cooked. The main thing is the batter. The batter, the breadcrumbs, the breadcrumbs with the eggs, that wasn't edible before it was cooked. So that's cooked. So that's bishalakam. That's the cooking of the non-Jews that you can't cook, eat anymore. Amar Rav Bruna, Amar Rav. Rav Bruna said the name of Rav. Let's say a non-Jew lights a big fire in a swamp to get rid of all the thorns that are in the swamp. So all the burnt grasshoppers are prohibited. We learned yesterday about grasshoppers, ayil kamtsa. So all the burnt, some grasshoppers are kosher. So the guy who put a fire, now the grasshoppers are prohibited. So one second, what's going on here? Hey, Chidav, what's the case? Once they're all burnt, you can't tell which are the kosher grasshoppers, which are the non-kosher grasshoppers. So my yiriyovit kolchav, why is it an issue of the non-Jew lighting it all on fire? I feel Yisrael Nami. Even if the Jew lit it all on fire, you can't take a risk of possibly eating non-kosher grasshoppers. So apparently the issue is what? That you know which grasshoppers are kosher. Apparently all of these grasshoppers here in this swamp were kosher. But you can't eat it now because it's cooked by the non-Jew. Because it's Bishal Akum. Is that Bishal Akum? This is not cooking. He wasn't trying to cook. He was trying to burn down the thorns. By burning down the thorns, things got cooked. But that's not called cooking. Ki gavda mi aser. In such a case, is this prohibited? V'amar Rav Chanan Barami or Rabbi Pidas. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Chanan Barami said in the name of Rabbi Pidas. In the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Hayo b'kocham docharech reisha. If you have a non-Jew who burns a head of a sheep to get rid of the hair on top of the head, shari lemechol mine. Then you can start snacking from that head. Afilu mireishu, even from the ear, which is nice and soft. Alma, why? Because labure seyar kamachavin. We say what he was doing. He's not cooking. That's not considered roasting. He was trying to get rid of the hair. So he used the fire to get rid of the hair. But he's trying to get rid of the hair. But that's what it is. It's getting rid of hair. It's not an act of cooking. It's an act of getting rid of hair. Through getting rid of hair, the ear of that head became edible. Okay. But it's getting rid of hair here. So it's not cooked of the goyim. So here too, hachanami here too, if he burns down all the thorns in the swamp, likuy agma kamachavin, he's trying to reveal the swamp to get rid of the thorns. So then why is there a problem with these grasshoppers? So Gemara says, okay, let's go back to the earlier proposal. La'olam, really what we're talking about. So lo yadai tar vaitame. We don't know, once we have a whole swamp of burned stuff, we've got burned grasshoppers, we don't know which ones were the kosher ones, which were the non-kosher ones. The truth is, if a Jew did it, it would also not be allowed. It happened to me that the story was that a guy had done it. A non-Jew had done it. A non-Jew had burned down the swamp, and the rabbi said, okay, don't eat anything. Okay, but the truth, the Jew did it, we'd also say don't eat anything, because you might be eating non-kosher grasshoppers.
But the burning of the ear thing, you can eat up a live animal? Isn't that a
no, it wasn't a live animal.
It
wasn't a live animal. I was talking about in the slaughterhouse. The Jew slaughters a sheep. He has non-Jewish workers there helping him with the skinning or whatever, and yeah. One of the guy for his job, he burns it. So is it now treif? No, it's not treif. He wasn't cooking. That was to clean it, so you can go eat it.
Rabbi, is there an issue that if you're in a street of kosher butcher shops, you right. Find a piece of meat on the street, you eat it, because you assume it's kosher?
Yeah, it's a different issue, yeah.
So why is it different than if it's
it's all grasshoppers that are always kosher. And
if there's a majority, you mean?
Right.
I guess here there wasn't a majority.
You're wrong.
You don't have a majority. You don't know what the numbers are.
Rabbi, the rules of cooking and baking by a Gentile is the same?
Yeah. Yeah.
The same rules.
Cooking and baking.
Yeah. Yeah. Gufa, we learned before. Amar Rav Chanan Bar Ami, Amar Rav Pedas. Rav Chanan Bar Ami said name Rav Pedas. Amar Rav Yochanan, name Rav Yochanan. Hayov Kocham B'charech Reisha, non-Jew who burns the head of a sheep to get rid of the hair. Shari Lamechum Inei Afilu Merosh Unei. You can eat from this head even from the top of the ear. Amar Ravina, Ravina said, Hilkoch, therefore, Hayov Kocham B'shadi Sikta La'atuna. If a non-Jew throws a piece of wood into an oven to dry it, the cover ba Yisrael kara, right? The non-Jew heated up the oven, and then he threw in the piece of wood to dry. Let's say he's drying a peg which he's going to use in a chair. So the cover ba Yisrael kara. While that oven is heated up and it's doing this other job of drying something, the Jew threw in some squash. So meikara. Shapir Dami, it's okay, you can eat the squash, because since the non-Jew is not trying to cook, the non-Jew is trying to dry something, but that's not considered the cooking of the non-Jews. So Gemara says, Pshita, of course that's obvious. So Gemara says, no, now the same would have thought to say, Levashulei Manikam Achavim. Maybe when a non-Jew is trying to dry a peg, he wants to cook the peg. He's trying to dry it out by cooking it. Kamashma, that's not considered cooking. The Shruei Manikam Achavim, that's considered an act of trying to strengthen, to temper a utensil, to strengthen it by heat. And therefore, it's not considered cooking. I'm Rav Yudah Mer Shmuel. Rav Yudah said the name of Shmuel. Hiniach Yisrael Basar al Gabi Gachalos. You have a piece of meat. Meat's not eaten raw, and meat goes on a king's table. So meat certainly can be cooked by the non-Jew and be prohibited as the cooking of the Gentiles. If a Jew takes a piece of meat and he puts it on the coals, but the non-Jew comes and he flips the meat over, or he flips the coals over, mutter. That's not considered cooking of the non-Jews. That's allowed. Yeah, that's what we're going to see. Exactly. Here, yeah, exactly. You just turn it on, or here, you put the meat on. That's also good. Yeah. Say, hey, Chidami. So, what's the case? If you're going to say that the non-Jew were he not to turn it over, have a bashul, it would have just cooked on its own. So, Pshitas. And of course, what the Jew did was fine. The Jew put it there, was going to cook on its own. What did non-Jew do? Ella laughs. What must be the case? The lo huipach bei lo have a bashel. If the non-Jew wouldn't have turned it over, it wouldn't have cooked. So then am I mutter? Why is it allowed? Bishulei ov de kochavninu. Then it was cooked by the non-Jew. So lo tzricha, the answer is the lo huipach. If he wouldn't have turned it over, have a bashel betar tisha. It would have cooked, but it would have taken 2 hours. Vahashta, but now that he turned it over, kabashel b'chadashaita. It cooked in 1 hour. So now the Tamei would have thought to say, Kirubi Bishule Milsehu. When you're making the cooking happening faster, that's already considered an act of cooking. No, Kamashman, since it would have cooked anyway, this is not an act of cooking, it cooked a little faster. Asks the Gemara, I don't understand. Am Rav Asim Rav Yochanan, we know back to Hilchos Shabbos in regards to cooking. What's the definition of something being cooked if it's a third cooked? Because there was a bandit by the name of Ben Drusai. He used to steal things. He was always on the run. So he used to throw it on the grill, and when it was a third cooked, he'd pull it off and eat it. So a third cooked is already considered edible. That's already cooked. Anything that's a third cooked, that Ben Drusai would have eaten it. So at that point, and there's no issue of the non-Jew cooking it further. It was already cooked. That sounds like if it wasn't cooked that much, it wasn't a third cooked. Then there is a problem of a non-Jew cooking it. So why does Rav Yehuda say that if the non-Jew turns over the piece of steak, it's allowed because it would have gotten cooked? It may not have yet been cooked. Kemaychal ben Drusai. So Gemara says, Hasam, that law of Rav Asi is kagon to osvei besilta. If a Jew cooks it, let's say a fifth, then he takes it off the fire and he puts it in a basket. And then, shakli over kochavim v'osu v'tanur, the non-Jew takes it from the basket and puts it in an oven. That's the cooking of the non-Jews. But in our case, it wasn't in a basket. It was still on the fire. If it's still on the fire, it would have cooked on its own. And what the non-Jew did to make it cook faster, even though he starts with it when it's only a fifth cook, not a third cook, is not considered the cooking of the Gentiles. Tanya Namiyach, we also learned in a brice like this. The Jew can put meat on top of coals. And a non-Jew can stand there and turn it up, turn it over, this way, that way, to give time till the Jew will come back from shul or from the yeshiva. And that's not considered the cooking of the non-Jews. A woman can put a pot on top of an oven, on top of a stovetop. And the non-Jewish lady can come, Magisa, and can stir the pot. Until a woman comes back from a bathhouse or from the shul. And it's not considered the cooking of the non-Jews. He boiled that a question. What about if the non-Jew put the meat on the grill? And the Jew flipped it over. Now, is that considered nothing? Because it was going to get cooked anyway. Or maybe no, since the Jew did something, it's considered the Jewish cooking, and we should be lenient because he makes it cook a little faster. It's not the non-Jewish cooking. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, Kal v'chomer, we can figure this out. Gemara biyado v'kochave mutter. If the Jew just put it on the fire, and the non-Jew finished it, the cooking, it's still allowed. So Gemara biyad Yisrael, if the Jew's the one who's finishing the cooking, so lo kol shkein, certainly that would be allowed. It Marnami, that's what we learned. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba Bar Bar Chana said the name Rabbi Yochanan. V'amri lo, others say Amar Rav Acha Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Some say it was Rav Acha who said it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Bein Sheini Achor V'Kochav V'Hipach Yisrael. Both the case of a non-Jew putting it on the grill and then the Jew turning it back and forth. Bein Sheini Achor Yisrael V'Hipach V'Kochavim, or the Jew putting it on the grill and the non-Jew turning it back and forth. Mutter, it's not considered the cooking of the non-Jews. Ve'eno aser, what is the cooking of the non-Jews that's prohibited? Achetei tchilaso, both the beginning, v'gamro, all the way through till the very end, v'yadove kochavim, in the hands of the non-Jews.
If the non-Jew is a sleazy son of a gunk guy, he's going to do the damage anyhow, either before or after or whatever.
You're raising a good point, but, and this is the beauty of, or I should say the complexity, right? That there are reasons why the sages make the decrees, but many times the decree stands on its own, right, beyond the reason. So the reason may be, according to Rashi, that the Naj is going to put in some treif, but, you know, it's not so likely that it's going to happen, right? It's not, lots of non-Jews won't do it, so they said, it's a problem of him, you have to fear he's going to put in treif in these cases. In these cases you don't, even though it's certainly possible. Right, so it could be that the decree stands on its own.
But it's not 100% proof here.
Maybe not, right? No, it just did some of it.
So one second.
If you say that the issue of the non-Jewish cooking is because of treif, so maybe if you have supervision, it would be allowed. There are those who permit that.
Yeah.
But there are those who disagree. Because again, Tosfos told us that it wasn't because of treif. It was because of intermarriage. So supervision makes it even worse. Because you feel even closer to the girlfriend who's cooking. So that may not happen. One second. Yosef has a question?
Does the whole halakha hold true if it's a male cooking?
Everything, yes. Everyone. Everybody, yes. I'm a Ravina. Ravina said, Hilchos of Halacha. Harifta, this bread, the shagar over kochavim, where the non-Jew heated up the fire of the oven, but for Yisrael, but it was the Jew who put the bread into the oven, or inam yishagar Yisrael, or a Jew heated up the fire of the oven, but afa over kochavim, but it was the non-Jew who actually put the bread in, inam yishagar over kochavim, afa over kochavim, and even if the non-Jew heated the fire, and the non-Jew put the dough into the oven, but for us, Yisrael v'chata b'chituye. But the Jew came and he stirred under the coals, stirred up the coals. Shapir dami. That's all considered a little bit finished by the Jew, and it's not prohibited based on non-Jewish cooking. This is the big leniency. Yeah.
The other day we learned this, we could have a fish stew made by a Gentile.
Yeah, we were talking about fish stew. Yeah, Murias. Yes.
How does this?
Maybe it's not something that the kings would eat. How do you know what the kings would eat? I guess you look at what look at YouTube at a state dinner. What's going on in the palaces and in the White Houses? All right, Dag Maliach. What happens with salty fish?
How do we know what the kings eat that they allow? Is this
we have to do some research. Do some research. Let's say the guy, the non-Jew, salted the fish. But there was no cooking, he just salted it. Now it's edible because it was salted. Chizkiah said it's allowed, it wasn't cooked. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, the salting is the cooking because the salting makes it edible. So then it's not allowed. What about Beitza Tzluya, a roasted egg? Because here the non-Jew doesn't touch the food, he touches the shell. So Bar Kapara, Shari Bar Kapara said it's allowed because he's touching the shell, he's not touching the food. Rabbi Yochanan said it's not allowed. He asked Avdimi Yamar, when Avdimi came from Israel, he said like this, Echad Dag Maliach Ve'echad Beit Tzluya, both the salting of fish or the roasting of an egg, Chizki Bar Kapara Sharu, Chizki and Bar Kapara permit, and Rabbi Yochanan says it's not allowed. A story, Rabbi Chiya Parva came, Liberish Glusa, to the house of the exilarch, the head of the Jews in Babel. Amrulay, the people said to him, Beit Tzluya Mai, what's the law about a roasted egg? The non-Jew roasted the egg. Amalu, so he said to them, Chizkiyo bar kapara sharu, Chizkiyo bar kapara say it's allowed, Rabbi Yochanan says it's also, it's not allowed. Vein varv shalechet b'makam shnaim, so two defeat one, therefore it's allowed. Amalu, Rav Zvid said, lo tzitule, don't listen to this leniency. Because hachi yam rabbi, this is what Rabbi said, hilchasa kavasid Rabbi Yochanan, Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan, that a roasted egg or a salted fish is not allowed.
If you're rocky, you can eat it raw.
He ate eggs raw, right? Well, the Chazanim drink raw eggs before Rosh Hashanah to have a good voice.
But there's no red spots, you know, maybe he doesn't know to check for it.
All right, that's also a point. Well, this was roasted, so you can open it up, you can see. Anyway, Ashkiyua Neguta Dechala. So the people of the Rish Galusa, they were so upset. Rav Zvid, he just prohibited to us the fish, he prohibited to us the eggs. So they gave him a cup of vinegar, and Nach Nafshin, he died. They poisoned him because he was giving strict rulings. It's hard with the Jewish politicians. Tana Rabbanan. We learned in a Braisa. Hakafrisin. The shells of the capers. So the capers is the tzlaf plant. That's the plant that grows on the stones of the Kotel. So the shells of the capers, they can be eaten raw. Let's say they got cooked. Or kaflutos. Kaflutos is fenugreek. Fenugreek also can be eaten raw. Or hemtlaya. We'll see what that is. And chamin, just hot water. Klayos, or heat, or popped kernels of wheat. Shalahet, of the non-Jews, mutarn are allowed. Some of them because they're eaten raw, and some of them because they don't really change. The popped wheat doesn't change, so it's allowed. Beitza tzluya, what about an egg that's roasted? So that's asura, that's not allowed. Shemen, what about the oil of the non-Jews that we saw earlier? Rabbi Yudah Nasi Bezdino Nimnu Alavetiru. Rabbi Yudah Nasi and his court did an estimate. They found out that the prohibition on oil had never become popular, and therefore they had permitted it. What is Hamtalia? Tanya went to the Braisa. He himtalia, he pishlaya, he shiasa. It's what's called pishlaya, it's also called shiasa. My shiasa, what is this shiasa? So I'm a rabbi, barachan, Rabbi Yochanan. This is what it is. Harban shnin denafikai uvda. Mimitzrayim. This is 40 years that this thing came out of Egypt. Rabbi Bar Barchana Dideyam, Rabbi Barchana explained, Hashitin Shnin Denafikai Uvda Mimitzrayim. It's 60 years that it came out of Egypt. Velo plig, it's not an argument. Mar Bishnei, one was talking about the years of Rabbi Yochanan, and Mar Bishnei, one was talking about the years of Rabbi Bar Chana, who was a student, it was already 60 years. Now what is it? Maisi Bizra de Karpasa, they bring the seed of parsley, Bizra de Kitna, the seed of flax, Bizra de Shavlisa, the seed of, what's Tilson, coriander? Fenugreek, I think, right? Fenugreek, the seed of fenugreek. V'tarlu b'hadi adadi v'pshuri, and they soak it all in hot waters. Then v'shavku le'adam akabel, they leave it there until things start to grow out of it. U'maisi chatz b'chadetza, then they bring a new jug, u'malu le'maya, they fill it with water. The Torah Bar Gishtan, they soak in it this earth that you use to make barrels, Umadabkin Bay, and they put in its seeds. Then they go into the Vailun Lubei Bani, they go into the bathhouse. Adanathan, when they come out, Malav Luvi, there's already things growing, Vahli Minai, then they can eat from it. The Kaira Mibinta Dureshayu Atufa de Karayu. And they this helps them cool down from the heat of the bathhouse. So even though the non-Jew had soaked it in the hot water, it is allowed because since you could eat it even before it got soaked fully, therefore it's not considered cooked. So now, Rabbi Rachana said, Amar Ravashi, Amar Li Rabchanina Milin. This whole thing is false. There's no such thing that cooks that quickly. Amila, or grows that quickly. Amila Bimilin. Some say the reason why it gets done is through words, through all sorts of magical incantations. Through magical incantations, they succeed in getting these things cooked. Okay, we'll stop here. Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha,